assembly, and David said, "Blessed are you, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever." Listen to David's prayer. "Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, and the glory, the victory, and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and in earth is yours." Underline that. "Yours is the kingdom, or the nation, or the world, O Lord, and you are exalted as head over all. Both riches and honor, they come from you, and you reign over all. In your hand is power and might. In your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. Now, therefore, our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name." Watch this. He says, "But who am I? And who are my people that we should be able to offer so willingly as this? For all things come from you, and of your own we have given you. For we are aliens and pilgrims before you, as were our fathers. Our days on earth are as a shadow and without hope." Verse 16, finally. "O Lord our God, all this abundance that we have prepared to build you a house, for your holy name is from your hand, and is all your own." Man, this is an awesome, awesome prayer. And as we listen to David's heart as he's talking to God, I believe we're going to be able to learn and grow from some things even on this morning. I want to give the second installment of this teaching or this series on stewardship. And today's title is "The Blessing, Resources for Successful Stewards." Resources for successful stewards. Those of you who are parents in this room today, and those who've had the privilege of seeing your child grow up and become successful adults, you would have to testify that the greatest accomplishment that a parent can experience is to see their child become responsible. The idea of responsibility, it settles a parent. It allows the parent to give that proverbial exhaustion, or allows a parent to be settled in their spirit. So it is with God. He desires that all of us in this room today, not that just that we become sons and daughters, but that we become responsible sons and daughters. Uh-huh. How many of you today, you want your child, that's been your prayer, "Lord, just make them responsible"? That'll preach all by itself, won't it? And see, this is what God wants us. He wants us to become responsible sons and daughters. And responsibility is simply utilizing the things around us in the proper manner. And that's what we want from our children, and that's what God wants from us. He wants us to see what he has given us and to utilize that in the proper manner so that he can prosper us, or so that he can allow us to grow and to develop in the things that he has called us to do. Now, let me help you out, because when we get saved, salvation is instant. When you believe in your heart and when you confess with your mouth, you get saved. But growing and developing in God, that's not instantaneous. That's going to take some work, and that's going to take some effort. And so it is very possible for you to be saved for 30 years but still be irresponsible. I ain't trying to step on your toes. I'm just going to give you what God gave me. But it's possible, because we don't necessarily take the effort to engage the word of God, to engage the principles that we sing about and shout about, so that we can grow and that God can begin to trust us with more. For God would be unjust for him to give an enlargement of our responsibility. That's what prosperity is. Prosperity is simply an enlargement of your responsibility without him knowing that we have matured enough to handle the responsibility that he has given unto us. I'll never forget when I was 16, I used to pray unto the Lord that he would just touch my daddy, amen, that my daddy could buy me a car. Never forget that. Never forget that. And I'll never forget this revelation I got at a very young age. The Lord says, you believe in me for a car, but you don't even have a license yet. See, sometimes when you're immature in certain things, you try to put the cart before the horse. And that's what God is saying about us, that when he enlarges our territory, it's because we have shown him that we are able to handle more. And this whole process of stewardship is how we show God that we can handle more. God, I'm going to keep this apartment clean. It's going to be spiffy. I'm going to treat it like it's a 5,000 square foot split level house. And so when I show you that I'm going to pay my rent on time, I'm going to have my finances in order. It's going to be a house, that apartment that you can give glory to. Then the Lord can say, okay, now let me trust them with more. We got scripture for that, because the Bible says in 3 John 2, it says, watch this, beloved, I wish above all things that you would prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. You see that? It has to be this balance. It has to be you prospering materially, but you becoming responsible as well. Because the worst thing you can do is to have a prosperous fool. Because the Bible says a fool and his money shall soon part. And so this is why God wants us to understand this principle of stewardship. The last teaching that we taught that, watch this, stewardship, you can refer to in your notes, is simply the utilization and the management of God-given resources to accomplish God-given results. That's what happens when you're a steward. That you take what God has given you and you use it to do what God has called you to do. That's very simple. It is when you say, God, this is what I have been given. I'm not going to complain. I'm not going to compare. I'm not going to compete. I'm going to use what I got, and I'm going to work it to get what you told me to get. Yeah. Are y'all feeling what I'm saying this morning? And so stewardship now is this fundamental. It's a pillar. Let me lay some foundation. It's a pillar of our faith, of growth in God. God is saying, how well are you utilizing the resources that I have given you already? You see that? And that's that rhetorical question that we have to ask ourselves. How well am I managing God's resources? Because all of us, we just sung about blessings. We pray for blessings. We want blessings. But what is the blessing really for? Why does God want to bless us? Because every church in America right now, you're going to hear this one word called blessings. You can be at a Baptist church, a Presbyterian church, a Catholic church. You're going to hear that, Lord, bless me. We'd have made songs up. Bless me indeed. Enlarge my. But what is the blessing for? What is God's plan for our blessings? Let me give you some suggestions of what it is, because it's very important. Because if we don't view our blessings properly, our blessings can become dangerous to us. And for many of us, we can get blinded by the blessings, and the blessings will take the place of God, when God never intended for you to worship the resource, but for you to worship the true source. Touch your neighbor and say, don't get blinded by the blessings. Don't, whatever you do, don't get blinded by the blessings. And this is what the devil will do now, is the devil will get us to take our attention off of God, give us the wrong perspective. And now if we don't have the accoutrements that we think we should have, we think God ain't treating us right. God tripping. No, baby, you just got a bad perspective about what the blessing is really for. Let me give you, first of all, Teal, the blessing is for his glory. Don't you ever forget that. Somebody say, it's for his glory. See, when God gives unto us blessings of any sort, he always intends to get glory from the blessing that he has given unto you. The question is, will you give God glory for it, or will you walk around like it's your own? Because every time he gives you a blessing, he intends to get some glory from it. And I don't know if you read this or not, but God won't share his glory with anybody. So watch this. We have Bible. The Bible says, let your light so shine that men may see your good works, your blessings. But when they see your good works, what are they going to do? They're going to give God glory. See, we are supposed to deflect the glory unto God. You're supposed to let people know that to God be the glory. Okay? Not only does he give it blessings for his glory, but number two, he gives us blessings for our good. You know, now we ain't going to over-spiritualize this. Sometimes God just gives us stuff because, watch this, he wants us to reflect who he is. That you walk around talking about you serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And God is saying, you got to know that some stuff I give you is for your good. I got Bible for that because the Bible says in the Psalms that if you delight yourself in the Lord, he'll give you. He won't just meet your needs, but he won't just give you stuff you need, but he'll give you some stuff that's just nice. Anybody ever got some nice stuff from the Lord? No, I'm serious now. You need a purse, but you want Gucci. You want Coach. You want, you know, Dooney and Burke. So he gives us some stuff for our good. And watch this now. Poverty is not some medal of accomplishment for holiness. Don't you think that the poorer you are, the more holy you are? Because I don't need all of that. You want it just like everybody else. And God doesn't mind you having it as long as you're going to give him glory for it. So some stuff he'll give us is for our good. And I'm not just talking about tangible stuff. Because some stuff he'll give you like good health. That's for your good. That you won't have to live life with pain in your back. And always taking pills for height. No. Some stuff God will bless you with and it's just for your good. Watch this. Jesus says, I came that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. You see that? So he'll give it to us and it's just for my good. And that's why I bless him. That's why I don't care who's looking at me when I lift my hands. Because I know I got some stuff and it's just for my good. I just get to have this because of who I'm connected to. So he gives it to us for his glory. He gives it to us for our good. But then number three, this is very important. He gives us blessings for our growth. Because there are blessings that God gives us, and these blessings is simply to aid in our assignment and in what God has called us to do. Some stuff God gives unto you so that you can further complete your assignment that he has given unto you. And what you have to begin to do is see the resource as something that God has given me to complete my assignment. My talent, which is a blessing, is so that I can do what God has called me to do. Are you feeling what I'm saying? I'm going to mess somebody up. Your spouse is so you can complete your assignment. See, and some of us get married because we sexually frustrated and we just need somebody to hook up where I can have some legal companionship. But that's not why God intended for marriage. Marriage is supposed to be so you can complete your assignment. When he made Eve, he says, Eve, you are now Adam's help me. You ought to help him meet his assignment. And so don't you be looking for no spouse because they fine or because they bowleg, but you got to begin to say, Lord, I believe you put them in my life to help me get somewhere that I can't get by myself. I ain't going there. This ain't a marriage teaching, but whatever God gives unto us is so that we can complete our assignment. I'm about to help somebody out, and I'm going to slap that devil across the head. Touch your neighbor right now and tell him you got the right one. You got the right one, because sometimes you start looking across the street trying to want other stuff, but that ain't going to help you complete your assignment. That might please your flesh, but it ain't going to help you get no closer to where God wants you to be. So God gives us certain things, and it's for our growth. For our growth. It's because what he has called you to do. So he'll put a blessing, a favor upon your life. Because in order for you to do what God has assigned you to do, you're going to have some favor. Some of you, he got to put some money in your hands, because for you to complete what he's assigned you to do, you're going to need some money. Some of you, he's given you influence, and your influence is a blessing from God that you can complete your assignment. Your education is just given unto you so you can complete your assignment. Somebody say, it's for my growth. It's for your growth. So it's for his glory. It's for our good, but then it's for my growth. It's so that I can grow in the will of God and what God has called me to do. Watch this. So look now in this text, because this text is so very important. Because as we look in this text, I'm echoing. As we look in this text, watch this. David now prays a prayer to God as they are about to build God a house or a temple. Watch this. Because God says, now, I want you to build something where my glory can reside. Now, get your mind off of a physical building. Because we understand that Old Testament is a type and shadow of the New Testament. So God is not as concerned about our building as he is about the building of our life. So David now, watch this. David now sets out to build God a temple. And read it in your own time. This 28 and 29 is a wonderful place for us to meditate on as a church. The people started giving, man, giving and giving and giving and giving. And so David now begins to pray unto God. But I think before we look at his prayer, it's going to be very important for us to consider David's position. Consider and understand who David was. And when we understand who David was, it gives this prayer now more credence. It helps us understand why David was blessed like he was. First of all, just some facts about David. Number one, David was a king. Everybody say he was a king. What does that mean, Pastor? That means he had authority. He had power. He had an influence. He had money. David was a king. He was a king over, at that time, the greatest nation to ever live, the nation of Israel. He was the man. The man. Not only was he a king, but number two, he was talented. The boy had some skills. Because David, he was a good leader, because he led the people in battle. He was a good administrator. Because he had began to administrate. You got to have good administrative skills if you're going to be a good leader. And not only that, he was a musician. He was gifted in the arts. That not only could he fight, but then he was tender enough as a man to worship. The boy was bad now. Come on now. You got to identify that David was so bad that he didn't sing songs that other people sung. He made his own songs up. You know, David, watch this, David was skilled. He was a warrior. And then number three, not only was he king or was he talented, he was handsome. Now, come on now, y'all know that's hard to be humble when you a king, when you talented, and you got it going on. Come on, see, and that's why some of y'all, the Lord can't bless you with certain stuff like this, with the whole package like David had, because David, watch this, he had authority, he had money, he had talented, and when he stepped out, everybody was like, man, he the bomb, and so watch this now, this helps us, because with some of us, we don't have half as what David had, but we so arrogant. But I believe this is why God could use David so much, because even though he was a king, even though he was talented, even though he was attractive, he was still able to be humble unto God. And man, there is nothing worse than to see somebody who is so arrogant with what God has given them. See, David understood the purpose for his blessing. He understood, watch this, that his kingship, his talent, and his attractiveness was all so that God could accomplish something through his life. That whatever God has given you is so that God can accomplish something through your life. If you're smart, you're not just smart so you can turn your nose down at everybody else. You're smart so that God can accomplish something through your life. If you got a little change, you ain't got a little change so you can be the number one stunner. But you got a little change that you can help somebody else through the ministry of your money. Y'all don't like that, huh? I know. And so David had this working on. Now let's consider his prayer. Now let's look at his prayer. I'm almost done. Because this is how you continue to allow the blessings to flow in your life. When you begin to have this view of the blessing of God like David had. Somebody say, let it flow, God. Watch this. Look what David says. Verse number 10. He says, blessed are you, Lord God of Israel, our Father forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power and the glory, the victory and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and in earth is yours. David was the king, but he said, yours is the kingdom. He says, and you are exalted. I'm the king, but you are exalted as head over all. David was rich, but he says, both riches and honor, they came from you, God. And you reign over everything. Your hand is power and is might. And in your hand is to make great and to give strength to all. You know what David knew? Number one, David knew that God owns it all. He understood God's power. He says, God, I might be a king. You might have given me talent. You might have given me good looks. You might have allowed me to be skilled in many things. But you own it all. I might be the king, but you the real king. Watch this now. Watch how he's looking at his blessings. He's looking at his blessings that, Lord, everything I have, it came from you. You own it all. And see, as good stewards, we're going to have this view of the blessing that everything the Lord has given, that everything that I have, it has come from God. Look at your neighbor and say, he owns it. I know you checking me out, but it ain't mine. It's on loan from God, that God has given it to me that I can accomplish something.